This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Devin Nunes, the vineyards of Devin Nunes, devinnuneswines.com. I recommend them for holiday gifts. I gave them for Thanksgiving gifts. And there's a club you can join, although Devin tells me it's filling up, to give you special access. The year 2021 is now available. They're out years ahead of us. However, I don't know very much about wine, so I invite Devin himself to comment on what you get with the club membership. Devin, a very good evening to you. Joining your club, if there's room, what happens?
John, great to be with you. You know, you're going to become a wine podcaster before it's all done. You're going to have a special podcast just for wines. Wines with John Batchelor.
I'm learning.
So the Founders Club, which I'm trying to create just to get this little project off the ground. Of course, it's just a fun hobby, you know. As I run True Social here, you know, commute back and forth from Florida to California, and you know, it's a lot of fun. Just to, you know, people always ask about it, and it's something that I enjoy. And if you join the Founders Club, you get a case every year, but you get it for a third off. And I'm only going to have so, you know, once I kind of fill that up. You know, some of these wines, you know, I don't have a lot of them. So then I'll have to close that Founders Club, and then later I'll start up an additional wine club, but it won't be at the 33% off.
Well, that there is an advantage then to joining your club. Also, there are going to be other years, right? You're right now looking to 22 and 23, but you don't know. Have you bottled them yet? I don't know how it works, Devin.
Yeah, well, actually, the 22s I tried over Thanksgiving, and they're really, really nice. So we'll be taking those at some point out of the barrel here within the next 3 or 4 months, and then we'll because I only want to let so much wood into the an oak, as they say, into the wine. I really like I like more of a you know, the fruit forward first, not so much over oaked, which a lot of wines can do. So I'll take it all out of the oak, and then a month or two after that, we'll bottle it, and then those will ship next year. So if you're a member of the Founders Club, you'll get your wine this year, which are the 21s, and then you'll get your shipment in time for Thanksgiving and Christmas next year, in which those will be the 22s. But not available until next year.
In praise 24. Of Speaker Kevin McCarthy, your very good friend for a long time, has decided to step away from Congress and pursue the rest of his life. After the disappointment of these last months, I want to speak well of Mr. McCarthy. I first read about him when I met you, and he was writing books called The Young Guns, working for John Boehner. This must be 500 years ago, Devin, is that about right? When we were all younger men. And now Kevin McCarthy has a bright future ahead of him. Although the disappointment of these last months, I still can't explain to myself why he's no longer speaker. Can you tell us why? What happened?
Well, whenever you have such a small majority, it makes it very difficult. And this had started, you mentioned John Boehner, a name from the past. There's been kind of a crew of members of Congress that started this process of trying to get rid of John Boehner back in the day, which, you know, then led to, you know, which the, you know, conservatives thought that John Boehner wasn't conservative, which is kind of ironic, being that John Boehner was the one who brought down, if you remember the whole check writing scandal and a lot of the scams that were going on. I mean, that was John Boehner who brought that up. So I always laughed at the people who said that Boehner wasn't a conservative. You know, he was kind of an original reformer with Newt Gingrich. And then they said that Boehner wasn't conservative enough, and then led to a little bit of chaos. And we ended up with Paul Ryan, who I don't think really wanted to be speaker. We ended up losing the majority. I was there. And Kevin McCarthy, who's, you know, of course I know him well, but I mean, he's the best political mind that I've ever worked with in terms of the ability to recruit candidates, understand polling, understand the districts, never stops working. And part of the job when you're a member of Congress, you know, a lot of people, you know, I was talking to some folks in Florida, just coffee, and You know, you got to understand, when you're running for Congress, you represent your constituency, and then you are one of 435, and you have to build a team of 218. There's no, you don't get to be president. You know, you can't be Donald Trump and just say, you know, or whoever the president, you know, whoever the presidential candidate is. There, you're just, you know, you are one man that runs the executive branch. But in Congress, you have to build a coalition of 218. A lot of people, I think, get infatuated with people who can give good speeches. But really, it's about building a team, getting other people around you elected. You'll remember, John, you know, I did a lot of work helping other Republicans around the country get elected. You know, why? Because you have to build you need 218 votes. And Kevin McCarthy was the best that I ever worked with at that. So the fact that you know, they removed him as speaker, you lose one of the best political minds that the Republicans have had in the last, you know, 50 years. I put him right up there with Newt Gingrich. And why you would do this is beyond me. But look, I think, you know, Kevin, I kind of figured this was coming, but after putting in all that work, he's kind of like, hey, you know, I'm, you know, late 50s, and I can go do something else. And we don't know what he's going to do, but you know, I'm sure he will stay involved in politics because he's very talented. I could see him, you know, still getting involved in races, and you know, I think, you know, it'd be smart to keep him, you know, involved in the Republican Party if he wants to be. He from what he says, he wants to be, but I hope for the best for him and his family. But he's going to do very well. But the Republican Party is losing a very valuable asset.
Another California politician much in the news, Gavin Newsom. I think he's president of the United States already in his own imagination. However, he's been very successful on Fox Television. In the debate format with Mr. DeSantis, he was quite relaxed. He and Sean Hannity seemed to have a buddy-buddy relationship. So Gavin Newsom, for a man who leads a liberal, most liberal state of California, with all those electoral votes in his pocket, he's having a good time. Except I see this little detail that's emerged. You'll have to explain to the audience. What's this about a deficit, a $68 billion deficit? What happened?
Well, John, the one thing that, you know, when the numbers in California come out, the one thing you can count on is they're always wildly wrong. And they hide the numbers for well over 6 months, the way the process works. And if you may remember that they were bragging a year ago that there was a $25 billion surplus, which all of us knew it was impossible for there to be a surplus. And it ended up being a billion dollar deficit. Now they finally admitted that, we're a little bit off. It's a $68 billion deficit, which, John, my estimation is that means it's probably close to $100 billion deficit, a record budget deficit in California. And that is a big hole to get out of, especially as businesses continue to flee. And as you know, I have kind of a bird's eye view of all of this because I spend so much time in Florida where there is a budget surplus and you see people moving here. I mean, every single day, there's somebody new that I run into in Florida that, you know, just arrived. And there's a construction boom. There's people everywhere. It's clean. It's safe. Then I go back to California, John, and I see homeless everywhere. We've talked about it on this show many, many times, but until you see it, you don't understand it. People see San Francisco and they think that's, it's just San Francisco or Los Angeles. No, it's every single corner of the state, including my area of the San Joaquin Valley, you know, where, you know, 7-8 years ago, we had no homeless. Now we have homeless everywhere. I mean, hundreds of them just in my home city. So Newsom has been running this shadow campaign for president, hoping that he can avoid these numbers coming out But I think he's a year too late, John. He needed this budget deficit about a year from now to get out of Dodge and possibly have a chance to be president of the United States. I think this is the problems that he has back in California are only going to get worse. And even if Team Obama is successful at getting Biden out, I just have a hard time. I think Newsom would be a blessing if he was the one to run against Trump. And don't forget, John, that Newsom, he has another problem, too, that the Democrats don't like to talk about too much. But he happens to be a white guy, and he's not gay. And so he does not fit the model that you have to be anything but a white straight guy to run for office. So it's kind of a double whammy. His policies are a disaster. The state's a disaster. People are moving out, and he doesn't fit the alphabet soup that the Democrats now is a requirement to run.
One more politician, just a minute. Adam Schiff pulls 5 points ahead of Katie Porter in the race to fill Dianne Feinstein's empty seat. I think Barbara Lee is well back. Is that a surprise to you that Schiff's doing so well?
No, you got to remember when they do that polling, the Democrats in California they really rely on zombie voter Democrats. So I remember seeing that polling early on that, you know, Schiff was at 20%, she was at 18, and Lee was at 15, and it was like, you know, 40% undecided. Well, that undecided is just because they don't know. Those 40% don't know any of, they're lucky if they even know Gavin Newsom's name. They probably know Joe Biden. But most Californians don't know their senator, don't know their governor. And Adam Schiff, who's been out on the airwaves nonstop spewing crazy stuff, is a hero to the radical left. Now, he doesn't fit their alphabet soup either. But right now, he fits the crazy town soup. So, you know, Porter is a woman, but I think seen as kind of more of a, more serious politician, even though she's left wing. Barbara Lee has always been she's a registered Democrat, but she's always kind of been a socialist. So she's always kind of been out by herself. So I've always thought that Schiff was, plus he has the money. Remember, he made so much money fundraising off the Russia hoax and then the first impeachment hoax and then the January 6th committee hoax where, you know, now, of course, all the evidence has disappeared, doesn't exist. Republicans can't find it. That was the committee where Pelosi decided the Republicans that would serve on the committee that, you know, supposedly investigated Jan 6. So this is a guy who's been constantly out there on the news. His name is known amongst, you know, hard lefties in California, and they will be the ones to make this decision. So I still believe he's the odds-on favorite to be the Democratic nominee. And I think the filing deadline closed on Friday. So I think that's it. I don't think there's anybody else that can get in the race.
DevinNunesWines.com. We're going to turn to national polling. We have a new poll in from the Wall Street Journal that is surprising. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.